We're supposed to talk to you about the ordination of a priest and the laying on of hands, and or I could answer some questions. How come I knew that was going to happen? All right. All right, so well, your cards, actually, I typed it into a document and kind of put it in categories, so I thought there's a category that we could probably get through it all. I had morals, theology, liturgical stuff, and miscellaneous, including bizarre questions like, how did the Black Plague start? Which I probably will not answer that question.
That's from the little kids.
Yeah, from the little kids. All right, so I have your names here, but I'll just give the question, and if you want to say that you asked it, that's fine, or if you want to preserve your anonymity, that's fine. Some of these questions, people did not, they did not give their name because they, you know, they were kind of sensitive questions. So I'm going to jump right in. You want me to jump right in or do some easy ones?
Jump right in. Sure.
We're going to jump right in, okay?
No.
All right, so you can guess that when we come to moral questions that you guys are going to ask questions along this line. Do you think being gay is a mental illness is one of the questions? And in it is, what happens if you have sex before marriage is another question that's sort of like that, okay? And also, why does the church not support gay people? And why do some people call it unnatural to be in love with the same sex? And why do they call it a sin? Okay? Well, first of all, I want to tell you that they that calls it a sin is the scriptures and God in his commandments, okay? But there are other sexual sins, too, besides homosexual sexuality. Right? What other sins are there that are sexual? Adultery. Fornication. Lust. All kinds of things associated with lust. Pornography. Coarse jesting about sexual things. All those things are unclean. So it's not that the church says only homosexuality is considered to be a sin. Anything that's unclean is against the seventh commandment, which says not to commit adultery. So the church, by no means, I don't understand this. I guess in our age we have this idea that if you disagree with somebody about something, you're not supporting them. The church in no way doesn't support gay people. I have gay people that come to my church. I talk with them. I have coffee with them. If they're not struggling against their sin, then I won't give them communion. But then again, I have people that come to my church and they're living with their boyfriend. I don't give them communion either. But it's not like I say, go away from me. I don't want to talk to you. I mean, what an idea that we would actually not love everybody regardless of whatever they do or don't do. I got a question for you. If you have an uncle, let's say, and you love this uncle very, very much, but he's an alcoholic, and he drinks a liter of vodka a day, and he's starting to, you know, because of that, he's getting in trouble in his job, and his wife is at her wit's end, and he's starting to have some of the sicknesses that alcoholics have. What are you going to do with your uncle? What are you going to say to him? Aren't you? Yeah, you're going to say, stop. You're going to say, uncle, I love you. I love you, and you're killing yourself. Is it supporting or not supporting your uncle to say, uncle, please stop drinking. I don't want you to die. Is it supporting or not supporting?
It's supporting.
It's supporting. But didn't you just tell your uncle that he's sinning? Did you? Yes. We as Christians have an obligation to those that we love to pray for them and support them and help them. If someone's doing something that's dangerous for their salvation and you know them well enough, then you should talk to them. Now, you can't just walk up to somebody, you know. You can't walk up to somebody in school and say, hey, you know, you shouldn't be smoking pot. I mean, if you don't know them, I don't think that's a good idea, right? But it's very important that we as Christians know why it is that things are sins or not sins. And that we don't listen to the world. The world says, if you love, then you can do whatever you want. Well, if you love Vodka, can you drink as much as you want?
No.
You can, but what will it do to you? It'll kill you eventually. Right? So, this is the same thing with homosexuality or any kind of sexuality. The church doesn't really draw a line, really, between homosexual fornication and heterosexual fornication. They're both sins. They're both destructive to the soul. In many cases, they're destructive to the body, right? Because a lot of diseases get passed and things like that. But that's not the major thing about fornication. Fornication makes you unclean and makes you kind of unable to see God, unable to feel Him. And so that's why the church forbids. The church forbids it because Scripture forbids it, because God forbids it, forbids fornication. And there is no marriage outside of a man and a woman being married. And when a man and a woman marry, then the Scripture says the marriage bed is undefiled, which means sexual intercourse in marriage is undefiled. But outside of marriage, it is defiling for anybody. Outside of marriage, any sexual intercourse is defiling, including homosexual sexual intercourse. And there is no marriage for homosexuals. Do you know why I can say that? Just because I made it up? Why can I say categorically there's no marriage for same-sex people? On whose authority? God's authority. In the Scripture, in Genesis, it said, "And a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." But then Jesus Christ, who I think we would agree is the highest authority, he quoted that in relationship to marriage. And he said, "A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." It's considered a mystery. And St. Paul talks about marriage being a mystery of Christ and the church. And we could talk about that at some time, and it's very, very important. But what I want to say right now is that Jesus Christ said what marriage is. If he had wanted to, he could have said, "A man shall leave his house and shall, you know, cleave to another man or another woman or three women or 10 people, and they shall live happily ever after." He didn't say any of that. "A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." So that's on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you guys, most of you probably go to school, and school is full of things that are true and also full of lots of lies. And you got to learn to distinguish from the lies and from the truth. And one of the great lies of our society is you cannot disagree with somebody about what they're doing, and somehow then if you do that, you're not loving them. You're not accepting them. That's complete baloney. We just talked about the uncle. You would disagree with your uncle if he's drinking too much. And so, to answer this question, I'll answer about whether it's a mental illness in a minute. The church supports all people. The church wants all people to come to the truth. But supporting a person does not mean saying, "Oh, everything you do is just fine." You guys are supported by your camp leaders here, but sometimes you get in trouble, right? And sometimes you should get in trouble. And that's part of the whole deal, right? Could you imagine if there was zero rules in the camp? Could you imagine? I mean, your cabin would be uninhabitable after 2 days, right? But there's rules, and they're enforced. Right? Maybe they're not always enforced. Maybe they are enforced. But for the most part, there's some rules, right? I see people standing under the bell sometimes. Right? All right. Does anybody have any questions about this? If you disagree with me, raise your hand. It's fine with me. Disagree with me. I don't care. I mean, you know, maybe you don't want to do it in front of everybody. Go ahead.
No, I'm just raising my hand.
Because you disagree?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you can believe in a religion, but you don't have to agree with every single thing that's in it.
I suppose. At what point is the threshold of saying I believe in something but I don't believe in some of the things, at what point are you not that thing?
I mean, with gay people, I just, you know, it's just my own beliefs. That's
okay. All right. I'm glad you had the courage to say that. I have to, as a Christian, tell you what God teaches. And that is, the scripture's full of examples where homosexuality is considered to be a sin and fornication is considered to be a sin. So, you know, take that as you wish. Is being gay a mental illness? Go ahead.
I don't disagree, but I just wanted to say something. I live near a town that's a very gay town, I guess you could say, and there's a lot of churches in the town, and now tons of the churches are changing, you know, their rules and what's allowed and what's not allowed. And, like, I grew up going to one of the churches down there, and it's completely changed now, and, you know, my dad's just basically decided that he doesn't want to go to that church.
Where do you live?
I live in Lewis, Delaware, but there's a Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
There's a lot of rainbows there.
Well, yeah.
But I just think it's interesting, like, now society, how everything's changing, the church is changing. It's, yeah, churches are more accepting, too, of gay people. Like, I know church where I live, too, is, you know, There's a flag on it, too, like the rainbow flag.
You know, this word accepting, it just kind of, it gets on my nerves. The church accepts all people. And there's an idea that if you don't agree with somebody, you're prejudiced against them. That's not true at all. The church accepts all people, but there are certain ways we should be living if the church can give you communion or confession or other such things. But I have people come into my church all the time that are not Orthodox, that are not even Christian. I have a homeless guy come in all the time. You know, I mean, half the time he's drunk. Nobody says anything to him. We have coffee with him. You know? I mean, you should accept all people. You should love all people. But loving a person doesn't mean saying, whatever you do, it's okay with me, man. Just do whatever you want. You know? Go ahead.
You say you accept them, but I know people who are very judgmental of them, and that's why they don't feel welcome.
Mm-hmm. And that's a terrible sin on the people's part who are judgmental. That's a terrible sin. But then again, sometimes people can say, one of you might think I'm being judgmental, and there's no judgment in my heart towards anybody who sins. But one of you might think that. He says, how dare he say that? I got a sister, a brother, a friend who's gay, and how dare he diss that person? Okay? So it's sort of in the eye of the beholder sometimes. But anybody who's walking around saying, if you're gay, you're going to go to hell, and all that kind of stuff, that's just stupid talk. Sin is sin. We got enough sins on our own that we got to work on. So we shouldn't be going after and saying everybody who's gay is going to hell. That's a foolish idea. There's a lot of, I know people who are gay who are struggling for their salvation, and I respect them highly for that. So, anybody have any other questions about this? You can challenge me. You go ahead, man. Alexander.
When you said that, like, a lot of people say that people are gay going to hell. I've noticed, like, quite a bit of religions also believe that if you don't confess that you're homosexual, that you will go to hell. What do you think of that?
If you don't confess that you're a homosexual, you'll go to hell?
Yes.
Well, what does the scripture tell us about confession? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you do not confess, you won't be forgiven. But homosexuality is not the only sin. And I guarantee you that anybody has worse sins. Right in this room, there's not one of us that doesn't have a worse sin than homosexuality. Not one. Every one of us. Because every one of us judges our brother, sometimes even hates our brother, is jealous towards our brother. Right? Slanders our brother. If any one of you have not committed one of these sins, you stand up and I'll applaud for you. Which one hasn't committed? Judging, slander, hatred, jealousy. All of us have, right? Those are sins against what commandment? Both of them, really, right? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Homosexuality or fornication of with opposite sex is a sin against purity, but a sin against where you actually actively hurt someone by lying about them or by slandering them or by hating them or plotting revenge against them, that's a much worse sin. So by no means does the church say those people are the most sinful. And if you're talking about that, Amelia, you were saying it?
What's that?
By no means are we saying that this group of people is more sinful. I tell you that we should all think we ourselves are the more sinful of in a group of people. So we're not singling out homosexuals at all. But the problem is our society, and somebody just said, I think it was Masha who said it, about how when a church accepts homosexuals, they start to change their doctrine in other ways. And that's very true. That's very true. So it's sort of like a domino effect. You know what the domino effect is?
Yeah.
Right? You put a domino, and have you ever seen those things where the dominoes go, you know, they make these big, huge contraptions that tip one domino, and eventually, you know, 100,000 of them fall? That's what happens with sin. Okay? All right. I'll answer the question about homosexuality, is being gay a mental illness? Do you think it is?
No.
No?
Not always.
Okay. I think it is a spiritual illness. And so do I think fornication is a spiritual illness. So do I think lust is. So do I think judging your brother is. So do I think being lazy is. All of those are spiritual illnesses. So yes, it is an illness. We all have illnesses.
I have a question. Do you think it's possible, well, because it's really rare that children at a young age say that they're gay or they're transgender. Once they get older and they're like, start finding out all these stereotypes and everything, they learn like, oh, gay and bi and all those things. Do you think that one of the main factors could be coming out of the family, how they're raised by their parents?
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. There's the argument in biology about nature versus nurture. There is nature and there's nurture. And sure, I think people now are being encouraged. And they're kind of two kind of gay people in general. I know gay people. I have dinner with them. I have coffee with them. They're friends of mine. But they're also not like literally walking around trying to convert people. They're not walking around being flaming. They're decent, good people. But there are also those, a small amount, not very many, but they are actively recruiting for their way of life. And they're trying to get into into even churches now and into schools and tell 7-year-olds that they should do sex play. They're doing that in some schools. And that's child abuse. A child is not ready to think sexually when they're 7 years old. And they're being taught to think sexually. And so, yes, I think that there's a sort of a move afoot by a small number of people that are trying to push their way of life. And that's very unclean. So somebody else had a hand up? Did you, Lisa? No? Okay, so go ahead.
So if it's an illness, then in some ways it should have like a cure. So I guess, do you think I'm not saying that there should be, but what do you think?
Sure, absolutely, there is a cure. What's the cure for sin?
God.
God, repentance, God's grace helping you. The idea of calling it a mental illness, it's a spiritual illness. It's a spiritual affliction. Okay. You're young people. You're all past puberty. Right? How easy is it for you when you go to a swimming pool? Come on. What do your eyes tend to do? They wander. They wander, don't they? They wander, right? Because you guys are just regular human beings, You have a sex drive. You're attracted to attractive people. That's the way it is. But if you don't control that, you start thinking, you start, you know, just going the wrong direction. That's an illness. It's an illness to lust. We have to control things. So is homosexuality a mental illness? It's a spiritual illness. And homosexuals can be saved as much as heterosexuals if they struggle against their sins. So nobody gets a get-out-of-jail-free card. Nobody gets a pass. You have to struggle against your sins to be saved. Now, whether or not you're completely successful, I don't know. It's not your success that matters. It matters of your desire. So if you recognize something as a sin and struggle against it. So I hope I've answered it correctly for you or enough for you. This idea calling it a mental illness, I think, is a unfortunate idea, but it is a spiritual illness. Do you know, we're not supposed to lust at all. I'm going to tell you one of my favorite stories in a second, but did you raise your hand? Okay. I'm going to tell you my favorite monastic story. So there were two monks, and they were walking to, they were in Egypt, and they were bringing baskets, they were going to sell them. They're walking into the city, and walking out of the city was a prostitute. And just as in our day, prostitutes were pretty recognizable by the way they dressed, right? The younger monk covered his face, looked away, because he's a monk. He doesn't want to look at women. He doesn't want to lust after women. He wants to control himself, so he looked away. He didn't want to look at her, okay? The older monk didn't do that at all. The older monk stopped and talked with her, and they talked for several minutes. And then they started walking. She went her way, and they went their way. And the younger monk was really upset about this. In his heart, he's thinking, my spiritual father looked right at the woman and lusted after her. He's not as special as I thought he was. He was thinking this in his head. And so the older monk said, my son, when we were walking on the way just now, who did we pass? And the younger man said, well, father, you know, that was a prostitute. Oh, really? As for me, I didn't know if it was a man or a woman. Do you understand the punchline here? Do you understand what that means? What does that mean? He didn't lust anymore. He could look at a woman without any feeling of uncleanness. It's not unclean to look at a woman. It's unclean to look at a woman with bad desires. And so he had been purified. That's what we should be aiming for, that kind of purity.
So basically, the goal is like for every man not to have a sexual desire?
Not to have a sexual desire for anyone but his wife.
What if they're not married?
Well, sexual desire is a natural, innate human condition, isn't it? Right? So being attracted, let's talk about good sexual desire, to the opposite sex, finding women to be, you know, beautiful and men to be handsome or whatever you want to say, and is perfectly acceptable. But fantasy about them or premarital sex or whatever else is sinful. So it's not sinful to, you know, how do people get married except, you know, I mean, I met my wife. She had the most beautiful voice in the world. She had a pretty voice. She used to get up in meetings when we were Protestants, and she'd talk about that she was going to go to, her father was in Germany, and she said that she was so happy that she'd gotten enough money to go to Germany. And I was smitten because her voice was so sweet. And so I started dating her. Really, I'm serious. And she was sweet, and she was as sweet as her voice was sweet. You know? And I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. You're going to think, this guy, he must be a mirage. It can't be true. I dated her for 3 months before I kissed her. I'm serious. I did. Now, I dated girls in high school. I kissed them a whole lot sooner than that. But I didn't, because somehow she was the one, you know. I just kind of had a feeling. And so we didn't kiss. We got very, very close, very emotionally close, but we didn't kiss. There was no physical touching. Oh, we held hands and stuff. And then, she was going to go, it was at the end of the school term, we were going to Purdue University. She was going to go to Germany, and I was going to be, you know, home. And so I kissed her goodbye. And you guys are going to laugh at me, but it really is true. I started walking back, and my legs were all rubbery. And I'm going, I'm not kidding. I felt like if a cop could have seen me and thought I was drunk, you know, because I was like this. And then I realized, I love this woman. You know? So, and I'm really glad. Yeah. Doesn't it touch your heart? Yeah, it is so sweet. But, you know, we loved each other before we started touching each other. And we didn't start touching each other in a sexual way until we got married. And then it was awesome. Because it was right. Because it was right. Because it was the right thing. And it was given by God. And so I have no regrets. I'm going to tell you something. You will not have a regret. If you get involved with somebody and you love them, you will not regret if you don't have intercourse, don't have sexual, heavy sexual touching and everything until you get married. You will never regret it. I guarantee you, you'll never regret it. Most of you will regret it if you don't wait. So, I mean, you know, there's a big payback. There's a big payback. Have you ever wondered, you know, hopefully this isn't the case for you guys or won't become the case, but an awful lot of people, they've had multiple sexual partners, okay? And then they find somebody and they settle down. How do you know that person, you know, they've had 4 or 5 or 10 or 15 sexual partners. How do you know? This is not untrue. How do you know that they're not, that they're going to be true to you? Because after all, they've had many other people. Where's the, you know, sometimes, where's the trust? Right? My wife has had me, I've had her, that's it. There's 100% trust. You can't put a monetary value on that. There's a benefit to controlling your sexual desires. It's not a sin to have sexual desire. I mean, that's what made me want to talk to my wife. I thought she was beautiful. And I guess she thought I was handsome. I used to be. Yeah. And so there we go. Okay? So there's a proper way to do things. You won't regret it. You will not regret it. And boy, you girls have so much to lose. You have so much to lose. You get pregnant, you might find out he's not the guy you think he is. And he's out of here. And now you got a baby. You have a ton to lose. It is, biologically, the deck is stacked against you. It is absolutely stupid for a girl to have sex with a guy that she's not committed to and that she knows that he isn't the right guy. Besides, I'm not even talking about morality here. Because you get pregnant, he's out of town. He's gone. And now you have a baby. So you have a lot to lose. And don't think that birth control works 100% of the time. Doesn't even come close. You have too much to lose. Just from a secular perspective. So, all right, have we answered that question or do you have other questions about it?
The bell rang.
The bell rang. All right, you've been saved by the bell.